This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. 76 billion oxycodone and hydrocodone pills poured into the U.S. market from 2006 to 2012. The Washington Post fought to get access to this data and recently published a story showing exactly how many pills were distributed, what pharmacies received them, and where. We know there's an opioid problem in this country. There's a federal lawsuit aimed at pill distributors and manufacturers. And this Washington Post investigation offers concrete data that show how this surge in pill shipments played out county by county. Joining us from the Washington Post is Stephen Rich. He's the database editor for investigations and joins us now. Hello, Stephen.
Hi, good morning.
Good to have you with us. This data, you acquired it from the DEA database. Tell us what you were tracking.
So this DEA database tracks the shipment of every opioid in, across the country from manufacturer to distributor to pharmacy. So we have this for a seven-year period. It tracks close to 400 million shipments over that time. And so we're able to tell at a very granular level what pharmacies were receiving how many pills at what time. And so it really paints the most granular picture of how pills ended up in the in these communities.
And what are you hoping to learn from this?
We really want to understand sort of what these drug companies knew and when they knew it in relation to how many pills they were shipping into many of these communities. You know, there's this lawsuit is going after them for shipping and knowingly shipping more pills than could be taken. And so we really want to know sort of what areas were the most affected and why they were affected so badly.
And tell us about that, because the state with the most alarming and the largest number, at least per capita, is West Virginia. Tell us what you know about West Virginia.
Yeah, so West Virginia, especially the southern part of the state, got particularly hit. I mean, there, it's a state in which more than 60 pills per person per year flooded into the state over the seven-year span for every man, woman, and child. There are many counties in the state where it's upward of 100 pills per person per year, and you know, the death rates in those areas are incredibly high compared to the rest of the country for these prescription opioids. A lot of that is in relation to it being a former industrial town. A lot of people were injured either from long-term fatigue or just injured on the job. And so they were prescribed opioids at a much earlier time than most of the rest of the country, which is why we see them having so many more have been shipped into them.
And your report actually identifies a kind of opioid belt. Where is North Carolina in relation to that belt?
North Carolina is right on the edge of it. The belt sort of runs through West Virginia, Kentucky, Southern Virginia, into Tennessee. And there are a few counties on the edge of the state that sort of touch on it, like Mitchell County and Cherokee County.
Right, and what do we know about the correlation between the distribution, the number of pills that found their way into these counties, and rates of opioid abuse, deaths, all of that? Is there much of a correlation? Do we have that?
Yeah, we basically mapped the mortality of people from prescription drugs across the country during the same time frame, and the maps of pill distribution and the map of deaths looks strikingly similar. Basically, the counties that received many of these pills were also tended to be the counties where there were higher rates of death. And now it's not a one-to-one correlation. There are a lot of factors that contribute to it, but the number of pills shipped in was certainly a large factor in death rates in these counties.
This is a revealing report, and what is fascinating about this is how hard you had to work and how hard the government tried to keep you from the data. Tell us about the struggle to get this information out.
Yeah, so we've been trying to get this data for 3 years. We first tried asking the federal government for it, and they denied us that, and then the data ended up in this massive court case in Ohio, and we decided to intervene in the court case alongside a couple of West Virginia newspapers to try to get this data. That was over a year ago at this point. We've been fighting. We originally lost, but then on appeal, we're granted access to this data to be public. And so we've really been trying to get this for a while now, and because we thought that what we would find in it would be important to tell people.
The Washington Post report shows that a pharmacy in Hickory, North Carolina, received the greatest amount of pills in the state of North Carolina. And joining us from the Hickory Daily Record is reporter Jordan Hensley. Hello, Jordan.
Hi.
Let's talk about Omni Pharmacy or OmniCare Pharmacy of North Hickory, which received over 9 million pills between 2006 and 2012. But the numbers are a little bit deceiving. So let's tell us, you know, break that down for us. What does that mean? And tell us about OmniCare.
Well, when first looking at the data from the Washington Post, I was too kind of shocked that so many pills were coming from that one pharmacy in Hickory, making it not only the largest distributor or pharmacy in Hickory, but also in the state. And after looking at it further, OmniCare Pharmacy of North Hickory is a CVS Health company that serves long-term care facilities such as hospital and nursing homes. So in a distinction that the Washington Post said about the data is just because those pills are ending up in these pharmacies and those pharmacies are fulfilling those prescriptions doesn't necessarily mean they're ending up in the hands of people that live in that county. I have not had the opportunity to speak with OmniCare yet. I'm actually in the process of doing a more in-depth series of articles on opioid distribution and the issue that we have here in Catawba County, and that's part of the plan. But I've been trying to get some data, which has been taking some time.
Tell us a little bit about the situation and the effects of what we are now calling the opioid epidemic in Hickory and Catawba County.
So over the last several years, opioid-related deaths have gone up. Let's see. According to state data, since Catawba County from 2013 to 2017 had 11 to 15 opioid-involved poisoning deaths per 100,000 people, and Catawba County has a population of roughly 157,000. And that was considered on the higher end if you're looking at a map of the state and the way that they had the data presented.
What do we know about the other pharmacies, Jordan, that are identified in the Washington Post report in Catawba County? Tell us about them and what you know about them.
Honestly, I don't know much because we have more than one Walgreens pharmacy in Hickory. So something I've been trying to track down to see is, this just one pharmacy, one Walgreens pharmacy, or is this all the Walgreens pharmacies in Hickory? And that is a distinction I have not been able to pinpoint yet. But I'm hoping by the time our in-depth series comes out, hopefully by early to mid-September, we'll have more answers to those questions.
And Stephen Rich at the Washington Post, I think that was one of your hopes, was that you would do the national look and do a county-by-county breakdown, and then local news agencies like the Hickory Daily Record and what Jordan is doing would pick it up from there. I guess that was part of the plan, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the reason that we released this data in the form that we did once we got it was because we can't tell the stories of every community across the country. We don't have that many resources, and so we think that it is better for reporters in those who live in those places to tell those stories because, frankly, they know the area better. They have the sources, and they can write it better than we could spending a year there. And so we really wanted people to be able to explore their own communities and the effect that these pills have had on them.
You know, looking at North Carolina again, Stephen, pharmacies receiving the most pills in our state. We talked about Hickory being the most, but Kinston and Clinton, these areas, the town of Vass, for instance, only has about 700 people, Vass, North Carolina, with 6.7 million pills. So, and then there's a particular Cooper Pharmacy in Vass and the number of pills they receive. What does this tell us?
I mean, the data itself is sort of a lead on what we should be looking at. I mean, Cooper's Pharmacy in Vass has nearly 7 million pills in that 7-year time frame. It's a pharmacy in a very small town. The town is not particularly close to much, and so it could be that it's a place that people come to from all of the surrounding small towns, but it could be a place that requires a stronger look. I mean, we don't really know what happens once the pills got there. We just know that this small town pharmacy received a lot of pills, especially compared to the rest of the communities in the state. And so it's worth looking at, you know, how many pills they got over this time frame and where they went. We can't really, the data doesn't tell us what happens once they got to the pharmacy. So we really need to continue to look at them.
You know, the interesting thing about this is that the lawsuit is accusing the distributors and the pill makers of sort of knowingly flooding the market. The numbers are going up by astronomical amounts, and these manufacturers didn't say anything. But you got this information from the DEA. The reason it's available to you is because they're required to report these things to the Drug Enforcement Agency. What were they doing with all this information, and where are they in all of this?
So our understanding of the data as it was in its original format is that it was so dirty and in such bad shape that it was very difficult for them to analyze this at any level. And, you know, it's really on them to sort of get it into the shape that they need to analyze it. But for a long time, they hadn't really been looking at it for these granular trends. And one of the things that I know, having worked with a lot of federal government agencies, is they're mandated a lot oftentimes to keep these databases, but they're not mandated to do much more than that. And so many of them are not actually looking at them. They're just keeping them because they have to. And so that in this case, that's a lot of what happened.
Stephen Rich is database editor for investigations at The Washington Post. Thank you so much for talking with us, Stephen.
Thanks for having me.
Jordan Hensley, a reporter with the Hickory Daily Record. Jordan, we will stay in touch. Thank you for your reporting.
Thank you for having me.
You can find links to all the reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, a new book documents the unexpected ways rising seas will have an effect on people across their country, this country, in their working and daily lives. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, the broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.